don't ever exchange the favor of man for the favor of God. Let the favor of God bring about the favor with man, not the other way around. The glory of the Lord resting upon an unsanctified life will crush it. The glory of the Lord resting upon a sanctified life will establish it.
Hi, I'm Eric Johnson, a pastor and senior leader here at Bethel in Redding, California. TBN has long been a friend of our Bethel family, and it's an honor to share our teaching, our worship, and the Bethel culture with you here on the TBN network. I firmly believe that media and technology will enable us to reach all generations and all areas of the world with the gospel. It's amazing when we partner together how much we can expand our reach. I hope you're enjoying our latest series on the theme Holy Spirit. Focusing on God's presence is one of our core values here at Bethel. We love soaking in His presence and inviting the Spirit to transform us into the image of Christ. Today, I'm excited to introduce a two-part sermon on the Holy Spirit and the early church by my dad, Bill Johnson. He's going to take us through some of the stories from the early church and the persecution they experienced in the midst of great miracle and increase, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. If this topic inspires you, check out our Bethel Revival resources, Ignite the Presence, Awaken Holy Spirit, and the powerful book, Hosting the Presence. I believe these resources will enrich your walk with God as you discover more about His empowering and transformative presence. I pray that you'll be encouraged by today's sermon.
I feel like I, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I found the needle in the haystack. I found something that I never knew if it existed. I had hoped that it did. I had believed that it could, but I couldn't ever remember finding a place in Scripture and possibly even in church history where a particular thing happened. It's going to seem oversimplified to you, perhaps, but let me mention it. It's to see the church endure persecution, go into increase, endure persecution, go into increase until they come into a place of blessing, and then in the place of blessing, experience a greater increase. It's the rarest thing in the world to find, because once blessing comes, complacency comes. Many people wouldn't have a prayer life if they had no problems. The motivation to pray is the devil's work, the devil's attack, conflict, situations that involve their personal life. Personal pain becomes the single motivator for a prayer life. When that happens, we actually choose our motivation for prayer. We actually give place to the kind of circumstances that prompt us and motivate us to seek the Lord. In the book of Acts is where we're going to go. I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to take you through just a series of scriptures, maybe four or five. We'll see how we do. And then I want to take you to the one verse. And I want to talk to you about this one verse that shows me it's possible. I don't know if it encourages you, but I've been looking at the church I've been in pastoral type ministry for 40 plus years, but I've been here for it's 22 years this next month, and I've been watching the outpouring of the Spirit. I've been watching the increase. I've been watching the increase of pressure, the criticism, the people leaving, the people coming, all the stuff that just goes on when there's a move of God. I've seen the increase of miracles. I've seen people prosper that never prospered before. I've seen marriages get healed that were a mess. I've seen people's bodies. I've seen people dying, no hope to live, get healed, and come into a place of blessing and peace and increase. And what you do in your moment of blessing actually determines how significant your next season will become. I don't mean that as any kind of a threat. I don't mean that as if we don't respond correctly, then God punishes us. It's not that at all. It's just simply the Lord is constantly testing us to see what measure of glory, of weight we can live under. The glory of the Lord resting upon an unsanctified life will crush it. The glory of the Lord resting upon a sanctified life will establish it. So he's constantly looking for the stability of heart. It's not self, it's not this self-willed maturity. It's this maturity that comes from surrender. It's this maturity that comes from yielding. It's this maturity that comes simply from allowing the Spirit of God within us to do his work, to make us into the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he is constantly performing that work in us. In Ephesians 3, one of my favorite passages says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all. It's like, how many more words can he put in there? Exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we could ask or think. Ask is our prayer life, think is our imagination. And so he's made a covenant with us to work beyond the reach of my prayer life on my greatest day. And he's covenanted to work in my life beyond my reach on my day of greatest imagination. But there's a clause. There's cause and effect. There's something connected to this promise. He says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, listen to the phrase, according to the power that works within us. So his commitment to go beyond our reach in prayer and imagination is parallel to the liberty we give him to work deep within us. The deeper he goes within me, farther he can go beyond my prayer life. The deeper I allow him to work in me, the farther he goes beyond my imagination. Why? It's not punishment. It's not manipulation, of course. It's not control. It's simply the Lord continuously testing us, not to find wrong, but continually testing to see what weight of glory can we live under, because we are being restored to the original purpose and designation for mankind. The scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin means to miss the goal or the target. So if I were an archer and I were shooting an arrow at that water bottle, sin says the arrow didn't even reach the target. It fell short. But what was the target in God's creation of you, of me? It was for humanity to live in the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Glory was the original design that you and I would live in the manifest presence of King Jesus. When you were born again, you were reinstated to divine purpose. You were reinstated. And when Jesus in John 15 talks about the privilege of abiding in Christ, he is reconnecting us to our original design of dwelling and living in the glory. There's a cycle that takes place in the book of Acts, and it's almost like a roadmap. Someday I'm going to try to chart. I'm not a chart person, but who knows? I may be inspired one day to step outside of my limitation here. But there's this thing that happens. If you can just follow this. Acts chapter 2, we'll read a verse in a moment. There's this outpouring of the Spirit. There's dramatic increase, and there's dramatic opposition. Outpouring, blessing, increase, disciples are added daily, persecution. They make it through the persecution without becoming bitter. They become more refined in their focus. They become more bold in their witness in the midst of persecution, which does what? It brings greater increase. Greater persecution, greater opposition. Again, they refine their focus. They don't become complacent, withdrawal. They don't decide to stay home now because they may be criticized by their friends. They refine their focus. They give themselves more completely to the work of the gospel, which brings greater increase again, which results in, again, greater persecution, to the point where we now have a guy in charge of the ministry of persecution. And his name is Saul of Tarsus. And he holds the garments of his workers who stoned Stephen to death. Jesus is recorded in Scripture as being seated at the right hand of the Father. But Stephen, the first martyr of the church, when he dies, the Scripture records Jesus is standing in honor of the death of the first one to lose his life for the cause of the gospel. As Stephen enters that heavenly realm, Jesus himself is standing to welcome him. Saul leads this movement in which the entire church is terrified of one name, and it's this name, Saul. They don't know where he's going to show up next. They don't know how big his military, his group is going to be, that capture and kidnap and torture and eventually try to kill these believers. They don't know when and where it's going to happen. Everybody is terrified. And Saul, is on a mission. And on this mission, Jesus shows up. Saul would be the Osama bin Laden of that day. And Jesus shows up, knocks him off his donkey. Saul cannot see for 3 days. He was blinded by the glory. I'm not sure that if the church had not made it through those levels of increasing pressure with refined focus, with a greater resolve for preaching the purity of the gospel, for living a life worthy of the gospel, I'm not sure there would have been that measure of glory to turn the heart of this one man who had given his life for the destruction of the church. And yet Jesus showed up and the glory blinded him. He was blinded for 3 days until a servant of the Lord laid hands on him. Now remember, it's hard to find a servant of the Lord that's willing to pray for the devil. Saul's not the devil, but they thought he was. He is so much in opposition to what God's doing in the church. And when the Lord called this man, Ananias, to come and lay hands on him, scales fell off Saul's eyes, and he became this vibrant minister of the gospel. It was so dramatic and so overnight that the church did not believe it. They heard reports, and they thought, nope, no way. He's just using a new tactic. He just wants to get into the secret meeting so he can find out who we are and where we meet. I've been in Rome in the catacombs, underground, where they had cubby holes dug out of the wall where they would put the bodies as the believers would die. And they would meet in these underground catacombs. You have to imagine the stench. And they would meet hidden away in these places because of the intense opposition and persecution. And now, the head guy of the persecution is quote-unquote saved, and the church is not buying it. And there was a guy named Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement. It took an encourager. It took somebody who believed the best about others, who was always looking for the gold, who lived to make others stronger. It took a Barnabas to go find this Saul of Tarsus and actually verify it's true. He's actually saved. He's truly born again. The story of Saul, or Barnabas and Saul, is dramatic and glorious. It's for another day. But I want you to look at just a couple verses because I want to take you to the needle in the haystack for me. Are you ready? Don't ever exchange the favor of man for the favor of God. Let the favor of God bring about the favor with man. God, I
Right now, Bill Johnson's four-part audio series, Ignite the Presence, is yours in thanks for any gift of support to TBN. And for a gift of $115 or more, we'll send you Awaken Holy Spirit, a five-part DVD series from some of your favorite Bethel pastors and teachers, plus Bill Johnson's powerful book, Hosting the Presence. Call or go online now to share a gift and request these powerful resources on the Holy Spirit and how you can embrace and partner with Him more fully in your life.
The Lord spoke to me really strongly that I want you to do at coding school, and I'll take care of the job if you follow through. After Bethel Tech, I got the call to come out here to the Bay Area and start my apprenticeship with IBM. And the Lord wants to do what He did with Daniel. He wants to put His kids that carry His spirit into the most influential places in the world.
Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, there's a good chance this is 2, 3, maybe 4 years after the day of Pentecost. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. I love that the scripture gives us an outline of what was important. They found these were the essential things. And it says they continued. They re-upped the contract. They redevoted. It's like a husband telling his wife that he loves her every day of their marriage, not just on their anniversary. Every day renewing the vows of devotion and commitment. And these believers now, a couple years in, after this invasion of heaven, it reveals what helped them to stay in a place of strength. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is the apostles' doctrine? I'm glad it doesn't list a list of doctrines. I personally believe when it says apostles' doctrine, it is referring to the present word that God is releasing into the church for each specific season. So they are all paying attention to the present word. You don't get a present word unless you're part of a corporate family. Amen, Bill. That was so good. It was so good. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship. Fellowship is not just hanging out over coffee, talking about going hunting, as much as I love that. And that is fellowship for me. This is referring to something that's much profound, much more profound and deeper. It's the exchange of life, one member to another. Fellowship, the breaking of bread. And in prayers. Breaking of bread could be meals together. It could also be implying the communion service. I think it's probably talking about meals and the fact that they took personal time to make sure they shared with other believers. So they did these four things. Verse 43, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, the apostolic ministry helps to release the signs and wonders ministry into the church. But it was never meant to be something that they alone were known for. It was always supposed to be the equipping of the saints so that the saints could do this work of service. Here it is recorded as initially initiated by the apostles, where they were known for miracles, signs, and wonders. Verse 43 again. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were gathered together. They had all things in common. Sold their possessions, divided them among them all, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. There's the corporate. There's the smaller gathering. With gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily. It is good. In Acts chapter 3, there's a miracle through Peter and John at the gate. There's a lame man who is healed. They are quickly arrested. They are threatened. They are told to never do that again. Peter asked the question, whether we obey God or obey you, you figure it out, which was a question they couldn't answer. When they were released, they went to a prayer meeting, which is fun to see. As soon as you get out of prison, just go to a prayer meeting. And he says in verse 29, Lord, look at their threats. Grant that your servants with all boldness may speak your word, stretching out your hand to heal, signs and wonders done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Listen to me carefully. Peter and John, if you read chapter 3, they were arrested because of a miracle, but also it specifically says because of their boldness. What does Peter pray for when he gets out of prison? More boldness. Now, let's be honest. The church right now, wanting to be at peace with everybody and not taking a stand for anything, don't ever exchange the favor of man for the favor of God. Let the favor of God bring about the favor with man, not the other way around, because you won't get it. I have friends who mirror the world around them to gain favor for the cause of Christ. You cannot get any favor you gain through mirroring their culture. You will have to sustain by becoming like them, which means you've lost your witness. They prayed for greater boldness. What's happening here? We've got arrest, persecution, threats, and the prayer for what brought on the persecution and the threat. So what happened? We've got an intensity, a refining the focus. See, something happens in persecution is you don't have people attending church to make business contacts. It'll be good for my business if I'm just seen with other Christians. That disappears as an option when you have the possibility of losing your life. Nobody wants to have a good business by losing their life. And you start losing some of those things. But what do you gain? You gain a refined focus. You get the favor of God, the favor of heaven, leaning and looking our way to bring about the most significant breakthrough. I believe the Lord is fully intent on answering the prayer that we pray on earth as it is in heaven. But it's not an overnight deal. He's looking to see who can carry what. Who can carry what? And he will test it in favor. He will test it with money. He will test it with anointing. What do you do when cancer disappears under your hand? How do you tell the story? Now, again, he's not looking for areas to punish. He's looking, how much can I trust them with? Can I give them more? The last time I used them to break that impossibility, there was more of them in their testimony than there was in the experience. Are you traveling with me here on this journey? All right.
What you do in your moment of blessing actually determined what your next season will become. Such powerful words from my dad. I pray that the Holy Spirit would increase your capacity to steward the anointing and favor of God in your life, so that in your upcoming season, you would see an even greater increase, and that he would fill you with greater passion to see God's kingdom expand in your community, your city, and the world. May God bless you and your entire household in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the great privileges of the Christian walk is that the living Holy Spirit works in and through us as we become more like Christ. In Bill Johnson's 4-part audio series, Ignite the Presence, you'll learn how to become so filled with His Spirit that it overflows into your daily life and to the people around you.
Your privilege in life is to reveal the Father. But I'd like to suggest to you, it's impossible to do adequately without being filled with the Spirit.
Right now, this series is yours, and thanks for any gift of support to the outreaches of TBN. And if you're able to share a gift of $115 or more, we'll also send you Awaken Holy Spirit, a five-part DVD series with some of your favorite Bethel teachers, plus Bill Johnson's powerful book, Hosting the Presence. Call or go online now to request these powerful resources on the Holy Spirit and how you can embrace and partner with Him more fully in your life. Call 800-339-1601 or share your gift online when you visit tbn.org/ignite.
The Lord spoke to me really strongly that I want you to do at coding school, and I'll take care of the job if you follow through. After Bethel Tech, I got the call to come out here to the Bay Area and start my apprenticeship with IBM. And the Lord wants to do what He did with Daniel. He wants to put His kids that carry His spirit into the most influential places in the world.
You may be watching this today and you don't know Jesus. I want you to know that God loves you and wants to have a personal relationship with you. But brokenness and sin have separated us from Him. God sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in our place so that our sin would be forgiven and we would get to spend eternity with God. If you want to invite Jesus into your life, then pray with me. Jesus, I surrender my entire life to You. I ask You to forgive my sins and be my Lord and Savior. Guide me and lead me in Your ways. Amen.